Father God in heaven, not of myself do I come, but I come by the righteousness of Christ. For it's the only way I can stand, to stand before your word, your holy word, and not to be consumed, but to have the privilege to speak it and to honor you. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us, pour out your spirit upon each one of us, fill our cups to the overflow. Empty us of ourselves, forgive us for any sins we have committed, and sanctify us through thy truth, for thy word is true. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everyone say, amen. As Brother Marco started, I wanted to begin with those two verses because it is conditional. Keeping the Sabbath day as expected. And we have a blessing that is all ours on the condition of we guard the edges of the Sabbath. When do we begin to keep the Sabbath? Do we wait until the moment it absolutely begins? Or do we already start preparing when the Sabbath ends tonight? To prepare for the Sabbath to come ahead of us. For 6 days shalt thou labor, but on the seventh day we shall rest. That doesn't mean sleep the day away, does it? And that means even in the cares of this world. But to ponder our thoughts upon our Creator and to enjoy all the pleasures that He still gives to us. You know, I used to count the blessings. Every time you walk on a sidewalk and the sidewalk has been cracked and all of a sudden a dandelion flower is bloomed, there in itself is a ray of God's beauty amongst the creation that man destroys this earth. God still shows His love and His mercy. We can't rightfully begin to talk about guarding the Sabbath without first turning to the commandment of God. So I want to begin with Exodus chapter 20, and I want to begin with verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. And it's so important that we remember. It even begins with the word remember, the only commandment that says remember. Isn't that amazing? The very thing that man would try to forget, the very thing that would be so easy to forget when we get caught up in the cares of this world, is the very commandment that identifies us with God Almighty, that He is our God. Let us begin. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within.
some thought of how important it is to guard the edges of a Sabbath. Not to be waiting for the time to click to say, okay, now I can go do something. I kind of like what Mark Hall said last night. He said, we don't rush it to the end. We still have worship at the end. What better way to close the Sabbath than to close it with worship, just as you began it when you lay your head down at night? What else could be more important than your time with the very source of your life in His hands? I want to look at something very important because I want to make sure that we touch base. We're going to look at a few scriptures, and then there'll be some commentary. I want to go to Mark in chapter 2. Mark in chapter 2. Mark in chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. And he said unto them, speaking of Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. That's very important to keep that in mind. Once again, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. We're not the Lord of the Sabbath. God Almighty is the Lord of the Sabbath. How important, then, is it for us to guard the edges of the Sabbath, to not allow any intervention? If it means turning off your phone for that time period, do so. If it means that in order to keep your family in God's eyes righteous, then have your kids turn in their phones for the evening. When Sabbath begins, let the phones be set aside. The temptation is there before them. This world today is so focused on everything going on. I'm fearful to say, and it's also frightening to say, but I've witnessed so many times the youth in the church separated from their parents and they're on their phones. One of the most difficult challenges I had at Central with working with Pastor Stabler, and one of the strongest challenges he had, was keeping the youth's attention because their parents allowed them to have their phones. They would even text each other while they were in the class. Is it difficult to teach someone whose mind is not focused on the Word of God? How can they absolutely listen and understand the Word? I said to listen. To listen to find means to be obedient. It's not hearing like we sometimes do with people, like we allow ourselves to hear what they say and it goes in one ear and out the other. We need to listen and be obedient, for there is no other way but then to trust and obey. Amen. I love that song. Commentary. Prophets and Kings. Christ, during his earthly ministry, emphasized the binding claims of the Sabbath. In all his teachings, he showed reverence for the institution he himself had given. In his days, the Sabbath had become so perverted. Does that sound familiar today? It had become so perverted that its observance reflected the character of selfish and arbitrary men rather than the character of God. Christ set aside the false teachings by which those who claim to know God had misrepresented him. History has a way of repeating itself, but today it's even worse. Many do not recognize the Sabbath. Many, even though they know the truth, are not listening to the truth. They're not obedient to the truth. They're allowing themselves to enjoy themselves with the pleasures of this world, thinking they have time. I'm not talking about those who walk around in ignorance because God makes his eye at them. But their time and day will come too when they must make the determination whether to keep the commandments of man or the commandments We are to teach and to raise our children to know God Almighty. And if we respect the Sabbath, and if we keep the Sabbath, and if we look at it as a joy, then they learn to look at it as a joy too, and not as a dread. Say everything was changed at the cross. Have you ever stopped to think about that term, once saved, always saved? Do you realize that would make God a tyrant? That means that once you chose to be saved and you accepted Christ, He would put a hold on you and bind you to that promise, and you would never be able to make a different choice for yourself. Would that be true love? It doesn't fit the scene. Look what happened with Balaam. He was a prophet of God, sought after, and he allowed his covetousness, which became idolatry to him. As the Bible says, to have covetousness is to have idolatry, to rule his life and his pride. And in the end, it cost him his salvation. Not only his life here on earth in a war, but an opportunity to spend eternity. The first king of Israel. He was anointed. He prophesied. He had the Holy Ghost. But he chose to disobey God's commands. And by doing so, he turned his heart over to the witch of Endor to Satan himself. It cost him his life on earth, and it's cost him his eternal kingdom. These are sad stories. They're lessons. They're examples for us. As we are told, the Bible is an example for us to learn and to understand the conditions and the consequences of choosing our own way instead of taking up our crosses and denying ourselves and following Christ up to Mount Calvary. Think about it. Did he not ask Moses to climb that mountain? Take up your cross and follow Jesus, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. That makes Him our justification, our sanctification, and only by Him will we ever be glorified to the Father. We are reconciled to Christ. There is no other way through heaven except through Christ. We notice that there are 12 gates, and each gate is a perfect one portal. If we can imagine the size of that pearl. Remember, speaks of the great pearl in Matthew. The price that the man paid was everything for it. It's going to take you everything if you want to serve God. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to surrender everything. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, at times it hurts. But we must remember, Jesus cuts to heal. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the great physician. So He cuts to heal. It's the devil that butchers us and destroys us. If ever we needed God's blessings to stand, we need it today. With everything happening in the world today, we need Christ. We need our Messiah. We need our mediator. Who else could ever go before God the Father and take our cases and plead His blood, His righteous blood, to wash us and to cleanse us and to make us new? For if any man be in Christ, he's what? Creature. Old things are passed away. The way we used to do things has to be in the past. And behold, all things become new. The Sabbath is a delight. It's not a day that we sleep away. There's many adventures you can have. Going out to the homes and visiting and spreading the word of God in music. Sitting by the bedside and reading Steps to Christ or Bible verses to someone. Taking music, even to the parks, as often Jordan Cannon Ministries does. I'm very proud of our ministry. It's not something that has to be micromanaged, because we all do away with it. And he certainly didn't come to put away all the prophets who had given their life to serve God. He came what? To fulfill it. But verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. My question to you, brothers and sisters, is this. We are told in the book of Isaiah that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, we will all congregate together and keep the Sabbath in heaven. How will you want to keep the Sabbath in heaven if you're not already doing it here on earth? The Lord's Prayer says what? As in heaven, so shall it be here on earth. The kingdom of God begins here. It begins in the heart. We must make sure that our frontal lobes are tuned in to God and not into the things of this world. You cannot have the pleasures of God when you're tuning into the world at the same time. You're straddling the fence, and we serve a jealous God, a God who wants all of you. He doesn't want part of you. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach man so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. How many of us know that you can't do anything without someone seeing you do it now? Someone's taking a picture. Someone is observing you. What better witness is there for your neighbors to know that you are a Sabbath keeper than now? My neighbors know. Expected end. You realize in Jeremiah chapter 29, when he speaks to us of his mercy and of his love and his kindness and his thoughts toward us are only good, they're not evil. So many people think this is an act of God. No, God allows things to happen. He has to. But it's for our refinement. It's for the sounding of the trumpet in our lives to bring us to God. Sometimes we need that in our lives, do we not? We need our attention to be captured. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What do you think was taking place during that time? They had added laws on top of God's law. You can only walk so far without breaking the Sabbath. Remember how he was challenged with his disciples because on their journey, took up an ear of corn and was taken and working the corn so they could have something to eat. Some things are just foolishness. Will there be laws in the last days that will try to curve us away from God, to worship man rather than God? Will it be convenient for us? Isn't this amazing? Listen to this. Rested from creation on the seventh day. He rested in the tomb from the work of our salvation on the seventh day. And we are promised when we go to heaven, we will observe the seventh day. We are told in the spirit of prophecy that we will travel and we will keep Sabbath before we ever enter into the gates of heaven, so that everybody will understand the importance and knowing how to keep the Sabbath. And I'm brave enough to tell each one of us, I believe that we each have some learning to do. Because God is holy. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We're told this. But now is the day. Harden not your hearts, for today is the day of salvation. Is it a salvational issue, brothers and sisters? Will it be a salvational issue in the end? The fourth dilemma. I done a sermon on this some time ago. What does it mean, the fourth dilemma? The fourth dilemma represents the fourth commandment. Without keeping the fourth commandment, how in the world can you put God first in your life and not have idols and not blaspheme the name because you cannot love another without God existing in your heart. I know some years ago in Sacramento, they posted up all these atheist billboards. And the one that broke my heart the most was right out of a college student at Sac State. And there was a sign of her, she had the form of a heart, and she says, I can love without God. Brothers and sisters, we are told God is love. Without God living in our hearts, without the blessing of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, it is impossible to love one another. Therefore, it is impossible to fulfill the role of the Good Samaritan. Because remember something, to others, we will be the enemy. Think of Daniel. Look how he was called upon in the kingdom. Not only through the kingdom of what? Nebuchadnezzar. And even for the closing moments of it, he was called because this man had a Holy Spirit in him. He could interpret. He could read the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. Amen? But he was even called during a time in which his faith was tested. We often ask the question, where was he when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went through the fiery furnace? I'm sure that King Nebuchadnezzar, just as we were told then, he feared Daniel. He knew there would be no compromise on this part. There must not be any compromise when it comes to the Sabbath, brothers and sisters. It is conditional. You cannot receive the blessing of the Sabbath that God wants to pour out on you unless you're willing to accept it with a joyful heart, not just keep it with a grudge. Some people keep it with a grudge. They do it out of tradition. I'm sorry to say, but some people come to church out of tradition. That tells you there's no personal relationship with Jesus. To enjoy the Sabbath and to enjoy the riches and to have the blessings of the Sabbath takes a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not too late. Will close, and it will be too late. Those who will be righteous will be righteous. Those who will be unrighteous will be unrighteous. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, I want to begin with verse 13. Jews, the sons and daughters of Abraham? Are we not spiritual Israel right now walking around in the wilderness of sin? Are we complaining because the way is hard now? What will we do as time comes to closure? Will we complain still then? Or will we be ready to stand upon the rock of our salvation, Jesus? Beginning in verse 13, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes and despise my judgments, which if men do, he shall even live. In my Sabbaths, they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have that expected end that we are promised that God wants to give us in Jeremiah chapter 29? What hope do you have if you don't have an expected end? And as John tells us in 1 John, you know, I know, we know the truth. Will you allow the truth to sanctify your heart? Will you allow yourself to be set apart so that God can have his way with your heart? Because remember, in Jeremiah 17:9, we are told our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. The only one who can know the heart is Jesus.
kill us, sanctify us, and make us a holy people. We can't make ourselves holy. I've heard the argument of people saying they've read the Bible back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I've asked the question when they said that, when they were living the lives they were, and yet you're living like a heathen. What did you learn? Did you pray before you opened up the Word of God? Have you followed His instructions? Reading something is not allowing your mind to absorb it. If as soon as you get there reading something, you're off doing your own ways, what good has it done you? Prayerfully seek the Lord. We're told in Jeremiah 29 again that when we seek God with all of our heart, all of it, not just some of it, not leaving out 1% of it, but all of your heart, then you shall find it. And that's going to be very important in life, just because He says, my sheep know my voice. And there's a lot of confusion in this world, a lot of false prophets in this world, and there will be a false Christ. Go ye therefore and not go, or even look. So many people will want to tune into their televisions or radios to hear the news that Christ has come, and we know that Christ will not put His feet upon this earth when He comes a second time. We will be joined up together with the dead, we'll rise first, and we'll be joined up in the air to be forever with Him. When He comes back for the final judgment upon the wicked, then His feet touch the plains of Mount Olives, and they flatten out, and the New Jerusalem comes and settles down. That point in time, I want to be in the city. How about you? So how important is the Sabbath to us? How important is it to you? Remember this, and I've heard this before, and this really breaks my heart. I've heard people say, I can't imagine being happy in heaven without my children, without my wife, without my mom, without my dad. I say, have mercy. Just fallen into the same pit that Adam did when he chose Eve over God. We love to throw a stone at that first event when sin came into this world. When Adam submitted, Eve submitted. How closely should we be together? people's attention was not on man-made image, but on the three Hebrews.
That's the reason why they accomplished more that day.
Just as if someone comes, late into church, everybody's heads turned
to look to see who it is.
The attention was on those three Hebrews who would not even so much as even act to bow down as if they were tying their laces. They stood fast. And when brought before the king, facing death itself, they stopped the king even in speaking and saying, "We know our God is able to deliver us. But even if not, we will not bow down to your image." How important is it for us to study that? And then to study Revelation chapter 13. Knowing that the day will come that if we do not bow down and worship the image of the beast, the kingdom, that we should even be killed. Not only will we be denied food and trade, but eventually it will lead even to our deaths, many of us. Not everyone. There will be martyrs in the last days. History has a way of repeating itself. We don't have to go into details of that. But we do know what the Word of God says, amen? All who should not bow down. So if you're not guarding the edges of the Sabbath now, how likely are you going to be able to stand the last day and not give in to the commandments of man because of pressure and because your reasoning is not there? We have a lot to think about today. We have a lot to pray about today. For the Sabbath is a very important topic. It is the sign. It is the symbol that God is our Creator. He is the one who created heaven and earth. We're studying in our group the Three Angels Message. If ever there was a way to help people understand the Sabbath, it's to begin right there with Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6, where it says, "Fear God and give glory to Him who made the heavens and the earth and the waters." What does it mean, under God? Only sin flees from God. When you're saved, you sin. But to stand before God, knowing He is your righteousness. You have no righteousness of your own. You have nothing but these filthy rags, the same as I do. We've all sinned and fallen glory, short of the glory of God. How important is it to have Christ right by our side to plead our cases? Why would we walk away from the glory of God, His Son, Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, I beg of you today, study the importance of the Sabbath day and make a commitment to God today to honor Him, to worship Him as He deserves. It's our reasonable service. When you wake up to such a beautiful day as this and you can see, how much have you been blessed just today? Have you thanked God today for your very life, your existence? No matter what problems we may have, and we all have problems, we all have difficulties, we all have things we need to put away out of our lives, we're all a work in progress. But in order to continue to walk in progress,